Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome again to another Happy Station show. And we have a lot of good music today for you. And in a few moments, Peter Anthony Holder of the Stuff File program will join us once again to look at some of the oddities in the nude. In the nude? I should say in the news. Yes, in the nude. No, we're not doing the show that way. He's going to be joining us to look at some of the oddities in the news. Yes, now don't get your hopes up. I'm not nude, and I wouldn't do that. And thank God it isn't television. That's the only thing I will say. Anyway, thank you for joining us on the program. And we also have a couple of requests coming up. And we're going to begin with one of them right now. This is going out to Abdullah Darnesh. And he wants to hear something from the Manhattan Transfer. So here they are with Boy from New York City on the International Happy Station. The Manhattan Transfer and the Boy from New York City kicking off this edition of the International Happy Station Show. A good song, and that was going out to one of our new listeners by the name of Abdullah. So, Abdullah, hopefully you enjoyed that as much as we enjoyed playing it for you. Now, there's a few things, actually, that I want to take a moment to tell you about. As you know, on March the 5th, I was talking to members of the SWL Fest that was taking place in Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania. Actually, it was March the 4th in that part of the world. And my whole presentation, actually, we recorded it, and we already presented part one at the PCJ Media website. This weekend, March the 12th and 13th, you can catch the second part of that. We're going to bring you one part each over the next 3 weeks. So go to pcjmedia.com. You'll find it on the homepage. And as you know, if you go to the homepage, you automatically start hearing Radio Netherlands playing. All you need to do is go to the Radio Netherlands player and hit pause, which will stop the audio, and then you can listen to the other audio at pcjmedia.com. So do go and check it out. And it was a lot of fun, and I think you'll enjoy the second part of that as well. There's also a new edition of Jazz for the Asking with my very special guest, Daniel Calveca, talking about a new project that he just did with Claudio Scagliari, a fantastic drummer from Italy. The CD is called Colors of Red Island, so just click on the Jazz for the Asking page at pcjmedia.com. Also, coming up at the end of the month is our anniversary show, and this year we're going to do something a little special. I didn't tell you about it last week, so I'll tell you about it now. Now, as you know, from time to time we play a number of archive clips from PCJ and the original Happy Station with Eddie Starts and Tom Mayer, Pete Myers and Jonathan Gruber. But a lot of Eddie's early shows from the late 1920s and 1930s no longer exist except for in snippets. So what we have done for the anniversary show is we've recreated 20 minutes of what it must have been like listening to the original Happy Station show all those many years ago. So, on the show for March 26th, which is the last show of this month, catch that anniversary special. And what we have done is we've taken some archive clips of Eddie Starts, and we've recorded some new bits together, and we created a 20-minute original Happy Station show mixed in with some new stuff and some old stuff and everything. And to give it the authenticity of it being recorded, let's say, on a transcription disc, which is a very large 16-inch record, we added the sound effect in it. So do tune in because it definitely is a lot of fun. All right. In a moment, we're going to be joined by Peter Anthony Holder of the Stuff File program. To bring us to Peter, we're going to take a listen to the Metropole Orchestra that we've played a number of times on the program, but this is from a new album called 54, and it actually is, it's really two artists. It's guitarist John Schofield, who's absolutely fantastic, with the Metropole Orchestra conducted by Vince Mendoza. The CD is called 54, and it came out on John Schofield's own label, Scobiz Inc. And the track we're going to take a listen to is called Out of the City. Here's the Metropole Orchestra, John Schofield on guitar, with Out of the City from the album 54 on the International Happy Station Show. Joining us now on the program, it's been a while since he's been here, is Peter Anthony Holder of the Stuff File program that brings all kinds of wacky news stories, which are true news stories that some mainstream news organizations, I think they could probably fill a 24-hour schedule with some of this stuff and drive people crazy. I think they'd probably do that in an insane asylum. Peter joins us now on Skype from Montreal. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Keith. How are you?
I'm doing good. Yourself?
Just tickety-boo.
How's the Montreal winter treating you?
The Montreal winter is treating me fine. I've never had a problem with it. And by the way, this weekend is the 40th anniversary of the big major snowstorm we had here in Montreal, where the city was paralyzed for three straight days. I remember it oh so well. I was 12, and I didn't have to deliver newspapers or go to school for 3 days.
Was that 1971?
1971, yes.
Well, guess what? I was 1 year old.
Okay, well, that was a great... You know, as someone who grew up completely in the urban center, a city dweller, that was the first time in my life at the age of 12 that I saw a working skidoo. Before that, I only saw them on television commercials for skidoos. They were going through the streets of Montreal. That's what it was like.
Well, you're gonna love this one. Speaking of skidoos, there's a shop here in Taipei that sells motorcycles and everything else, including skidoos.
Excellent.
And I was just really curious, and I went in and I said to them, well, I'm just curious because I said, it doesn't snow here in Taiwan. It'll never snow here in Taiwan unless global warming has something to do with it. Why are you selling skidoos? And they said, well, there's a lot of very wealthy Taiwanese who go to Europe and to South Korea, and we're selling it for them. And I went, okay.
Interesting stuff.
Yes. All right, Peter, what do you have for us today?
I'm glad you asked, because that's why I'm here. talk about ruthless revenge. A UK immigration officer who was angry at his wife decided to get even by placing her name on a terrorist watch list so she couldn't get home from Pakistan. Now, oh, it gets better. The officer used his access to security database and added her name to the list of people banned from flights into the UK while she was visiting her family overseas. Now, the woman, who had no idea what her husband had done, went to the airport only to be told that she couldn't get on the plane. Adding to her frustration was the fact that officials didn't offer an explanation. Now, when she called her husband to ask him for help on the matter, he promised to look into it, but he left her stuck in Pakistan for 3 years.
Whoa. Back up here. 3 years, and she had no idea. I mean, he didn't say, oh, I don't love you anymore, get out of my life.
No, he had no idea. Now, ironically, this all came to light after the officer was being vetted because he had applied for a promotion that required a higher level of security clearance. When his superiors realized his wife was on a watch list and questioned him about it, he broke down and confessed. And instead of getting the promotion, he was fired for gross misconduct. Now, I'm going out on a limb here, but I'm thinking this relationship is over.
You think?
Yeah. Okay. Elsewhere, police say a 24-year-old man is missing a chunk of his right ear that was bitten off by a woman who didn't like being called fat. I wonder if he was tasty. Katie Flood said officers were called to a Lincoln hospital around 3:25 a.m. to talk to the injured man. He told them he had been bitten at a party. Flood said officers later learned that the injured man and two others had been arguing with other people at the birthday party. Flood says the man told the 21-year-old Anna Godfrey that she was fat. Officer said Godfrey then tackled the man and took a bite. Flood said the ear chunk was not found. Anyone check her digestive tract? That's what I want to know. Godfrey was arrested on suspicion of felony assault.
Is she a friend of Mike Tyson?
I have no idea, but they're meant for each other.
imagine how interesting foreplay would be.
I bet you there'll be no French kissing in that relationship. prosecutors in Washington State say an 18-year-old woman stabbed a 19-year-old man for teasing her that her feet smelled. You see a theme here? The Herald of Everett reports the man was found by police with a steak knife sticking out of his back, buried in a few inches. His lung had collapsed. Officials say he'll recover. Charging papers say trouble started when Dallas Amber Smith, boy, that sounds like a stripper name, doesn't it? drinking and hanging out with friends, and was challenged to do a backflip. When she took off her shoes to do the backflip, the teasing started. Smith had no criminal history. She faces charges of second-degree assault with a deadly weapon. Someone, I think, needs anger management classes. Meanwhile, two Australian men needed surgery after shooting each other in the buttocks during a drinking session to see if it would hurt. I guess now they know. Age 34 used an air rifle to fire at each other. 2 days later, both were in the hospital to have pellets removed from their buttocks and legs. Said a police spokesperson, it appears other than a bit of pain, the two men thought they were fine. 2 days later, both men had been admitted to hospital to require surgery to remove slug pellets from their buttocks and legs. One of the men had been stripped of his firearms license over the incident.
My question with that one is, was there only one bullet hole? But I'm bum.
Meanwhile, in Sarasota, Florida, 33-year-old Neil Lansing, who's homeless, was arrested while appearing in court due to the to what was hidden inside his body while he stood before the judge. Deputies conducted a routine search and found part of a condom sticking out of Lansing's backside, which contained 17 round blue pills, one cigarette, six matches, one flint, one empty syringe with an eraser over the needle, one lip balm container, an additional unused condom, a receipt from CVS Pharmacy, and a paper coupon. Wow. So now he faces charges of possessing a drug and a tobacco product inside the Sarasota jail. Boy, the term bumming a cigarette means a whole different thing in this case, doesn't it?
I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
that's probably in there, too. In November, at a burglary scene near Seneca, South Carolina, deputies found Noah Smith, age 31, naked and apparently drugged, perhaps on hallucinogenic mushrooms, and with a string-like object protruding from his buttocks. Again, do you see a theme here? Smith was x-rayed, revealing, according to the deputy's report, which made its way to the internet, that the object in his rectum was a mouse. However, several days later, the sheriff's office clarified that the object was a computer mouse. Smith told emergency room personnel he had no memory of the incident. Wow, you know, you'd think some things would be kind of hard to forget, and wouldn't you like to be in the room the second that flashback of realization hits him? The look on his face should be priceless.
You just put a bad image in my head right now.
Yeah, uh-huh.
was it a wireless mouse, or was it, you know, was it a vibrating one?
your mouse vibrates, does it? Oh, really? Okay, moving right along. Responding to a domestic dispute call at the I-77 Motor Inn in Fairplane, West Virginia, in October, sheriff's deputies encountered Melissa Williams naked from the waist down and holding a knife. Two men in the room, one her estranged husband, said Williams had threatened them. Now, somebody, she reportedly said, is going to eat my, and you place here the vulgar anatomical reference, and you know what I'm talking about, or I'm going to cut your expletive throat. See, you got the picture?
Yes.
Yeah, she wanted someone, as the saying goes, to dine at the Y. Anyway, the sheriff's...
Oh, Peter, really?
The sheriff's report also noted that one of the men approached Williams to comply, but was repelled by Williams's quote, unquote, and this is in the report, horrible vaginal odor. In November... was sentenced to 90 days in jail. Let's just hope those 90 days, in those 90 days, she discovers some feminine hygiene products.
I should mention right now that Peter is not making this stuff up.
No, not at all. Not at all. A story that's closer to your neck of the woods. Wei Xingping, age 55, a boatman in a village near industrial Langzhou, China, collects bodies from the Yellow River. You know, the murdered, the suicides, the accidentally drowned, and offers them back to the grieving relatives, but for a price. Distraught visitors pay a small browsing fee to check his inventory, and then, if they identify a loved one, up to the equivalent of $500 to take the corpse home, said Wei, "I bring dignity to the dead," which is no overstatement for him, since his own son drowned in the river and his body has yet to be recovered.
Okay, you know, the Yellow River is an interesting place, actually. You don't have to drown. You stick your finger and you'll die.
Yeah, but I like the browsing
theme. Browsing theme, yeah. I mean, here, I mean, imagine doing a commercial for that.
Yes. Anyway, here we have a couple of stories that deal with people who are clearly not quite sure of the concept, especially when it comes to how to properly handle criminal activity. When Anne Semenovich, age 74, of Spruce Grove, British Columbia, told scrap metal yard owner Vic Small why she wanted to purchase an incinerator from him, he didn't believe it. She said she wanted to burn her husband there, he later said. Thinking she wasn't all there, she instead dealt with her daughter, Lori. Later, Lori called for him to check the machine because it wasn't working. When he arrived and looked inside, Small found Alex Semenovich, age 77, Anne's husband of 50 years, stuffed inside. Prosecutors say Anne shot her husband in the head and then recruited her grandson and Lori to help move the body. But after dragging the 240-pound man to the incinerator, it apparently wouldn't start, so they called Small, who called police. Semenovich was charged with first-degree murder and surprised the court by pleading guilty to manslaughter. She was sentenced to the minimum 4 years in prison. Gee, I could just imagine the ad now. For sale, one incinerator, only used once, recommended for disposal of objects less than 240 pounds.
That sounds like something straight out of Hansel and Gretel.
Yes, yes it is.
her favorite nursery rhyme.
While we're on the topic of people not sure of the idea, Spanish police have detained a woman who faked her own kidnapping to test whether her husband would pay ransom, sending him a photograph of herself with bound hands and feet. The man received the photo on his mobile phone from someone claiming to be one of the kidnappers, along with a text message demanding a ransom of 20,000 euros for her release. The ransom request was repeated in later text messages, as well as warnings that the man not go to police, which, of course, he ignored. Police launched a search and spotted her car, which they followed to a shopping mall in the town of Gandia on the Mediterranean coast. The woman, who was traveling alone and was in perfect health, was the supposed victim of the kidnapping, this police said in the statement. And first she told police that she had been released that morning, but later confessed to faking her abduction to find out what her husband would be willing to do for her. Let's see if he's willing to wait for her when she gets out. By the way, what is it with women in Spain? In 2008, a Spanish court sentenced a woman to 3.5 years in prison after finding her guilty of extortion by faking her children's kidnapping seven times.
Seven times?
Seven times. Why weren't people onto her after the first, say, three?
Uh-huh. I'm a little speechless on that one.
Okay. You know, it's really tough. I don't know what it's like in your neck of the woods, but it's really tough these days selling cars. At a place called Cabral Chrysler Dealership in Manteca, California, they were so desperate for a sale, at least one guy was, in October, that one of its employees picked up a potential customer, Donald Davis, age 67, at his nursing home, brought him, and he was in pajamas and slippers, brought the pajamas and slippers-clad dementia-suffering resident in to sign papers, handed him the keys to his new pickup truck with the requested chrome wheels, and sent him on his way, even tossing Davis's wheelchair into the truck's bed as Davis sped away. Shortly afterward, Davis led police on a high-speed chase 50 miles from Manteca. He was stopped and detained, but at the hospital the next morning, he passed away from heart failure. The salesman said Davis had called him twice the day before, insisting on buying a new truck.
Uh-huh. Well, at least he had one good ride before he passed on.
That's what I'm thinking. Hey, kite enthusiasts out there, kites are cheap. It's okay to let them go. In DePoe Bay, Oregon, 45-year-old Dennis Keith Brockes would have done well to heed this advice. He had been flying kites with his roommate when his kite got away from him. He chased the kite right off a cliff and fell into the ocean below, and it killed him. His body was found about 50 to 100 yards from shore. The kite, by the way, was never found. This is what you call a Wile E. Coyote moment, by the way.
Oh, man. You know, it just...
Yikes sign.
You kind of wonder, like, at the last moment, what was going through his mind. It was probably like, this is not a good idea.
No. And, you know, there are some people you just don't want to really piss off in life. Trust me. Here's a tip for you, Keith. There are some people in life you just shouldn't try to piss off. You don't want to. The IRS guy auditing your taxes, the guy fixing your brakes, and, of course, the guy you hired to put a big tattoo on your back. But in Australia, one 25-year-old man never picked up on this valuable life lesson. He had hired a 21-year-old amateur tattooist and was visiting the man at his home. Now, right before getting his tattoo, the two men apparently got into an argument after the tattoo artist took offense to something his customer had said. The customer had wanted a yin and yang symbol with some dragons on his back. Instead, he got a big picture of male genitalia. The victim also alleged he was punched and thrown out of the house following the tattooing. In the meantime, our practical joke-loving tattoo artist has been arrested and charged with 2 counts of assault.
You know, lovely? If the tattoo artist was smart, he wouldn't have, like, punched the guy or anything. He would just let it be, and then nothing would have happened.
Yes. I know you like sex-related stories.
Well, that's all you've been doing today.
No, it's not. But I have some for you here right now.
Okay? Yeah, you know, this past week I had a bit of a Freudian slip while doing an interview. Instead of saying I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole, I don't know what happened, but I said I wouldn't touch that with my 10-foot pole.
Uh-huh. Bragging once again, right? Or delusional. Okay. Albuquerque police said a supermarket worker accused of handing out a yogurt sample contaminated with semen.
Ooh. Yes.
Arrested on outstanding bench warrants. Now, the Albuquerque Police Department said officers were called to the Sunflower Market by a woman who said store employee Anthony Garcia, age 31, gave her a free yogurt sample contaminated with bodily fluid. The woman told police she spit the sample out because it tasted like sperm. Let me get there. Police said they are running tests on the sample. They found where she basically spit out the possible evidence. This is according to Sergeant Trish Hoffman. She went on to say, as far as back as I can remember, this is the first time we've ever dealt with this. Investigators said Garcia was arrested on 2 outstanding bench warrants, one of which was for failure to appear for an arraignment on 2 counts of criminal sexual contact with a minor. Now, I know just what you're thinking, Keith, and that is people often say that certain things taste like chicken, and that's because we all know what chicken tastes like. Now, this woman, I don't know.
What is her profession? I'm just curious.
I have no idea. By the way, French police say they have arrested a 63-year-old woman who was leading her 40-year-old companion along a busy shopping street by a leash attached to his exposed penis. The couple were detained and are due to appear in court in April on charges of public indecency. The couple admitted to being sex addicts and said they were in the middle of a game when arrested. And all I have to ask is, who won?
I'm sugar. Okay, we've been going for about 20 minutes, Peter. We're nearly out of time. Who's the idiot of the day for us?
You want an idiot of the day?
Yes.
Okay. Despite what he apparently thinks, 27-year-old Jerome Smith of West Price Hill, Ohio, is not exactly a genius. He had been out of prison for just 2.5 months when he was arrested for allegedly striking a woman repeatedly in the head with a handgun. Oh, and she was pregnant.
Okay. Oh, and
by the way, he had the word genius tattooed in big letters across his forehead. And genius was misspelled.
Uh-huh.
He spelled it with J.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes him the idiot of the week.
Ay, ay, ay. Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah.
That is...
Ay, ay.
You know, every time I when I listen to the stuff file, I listen to it and I just go, what is wrong? Something is wrong with society.
I make my bread and butter on the stupidity of the human race.
Well, you know, somebody, I was talking to somebody a while ago, and you know, in the U.S., they love to follow like police car chases on TV, right? And you just right. wonder, like, why would anybody even consider doing it today? Because you will get caught. There's cameras there and everything, but they still do it.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Peter Holder, thank you very much for joining us on the program, and I'll give out the information for Peter's show a little later on. Peter, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. What games shall we play today? Chick-Corea, featuring Flora Purim on vocals and percussion. And before that, I was speaking with Peter Anthony Holder, host of the Stuff File program, which you can catch here on PCJ Radio. And his website is peteranthonyholder.com. That's peteranthonyholder.com, and you can download the Stuff File program from there and also download it from iTunes. Now, a little announcement to make. Last weekend, March the 5th and the 6th, PCJ was streaming, but only for its partner stations, not for regular listeners. And there was a reason for that. Because of the amount of traffic that we've had coming to the website for the stream, we had to put in another server, so there'll be two servers. One for partner stations that relay the programming live on the weekends, and then another one which is for listeners. This weekend, the 12th and 13th of March, our program will also only be for our partner stations. So if you're a listener and you want to catch the live stream, you won't be able to. But our partner stations will still be able to get it because we just put the new server in last week and we're working out some of the bugs to try to increase the bit rate so you can get a much higher fidelity sound. But don't despair, because if you go to the website, you can still download all the programs like Nash Hollow, Switzerland in Sound, Media Network with Jonathan Marks, and the Kelly Alexander Show, and others, just by going to pcjmedia.com. Okay, now, this is a request actually going out to a number of people. From time to time, as you know, I have been playing music on the show, Chinese music, from the 1940s and 1950s. And not like, you know, folk music or anything like that, but say popular American and British songs, but performed in Chinese by popular artists of the day. A number of you have been writing in saying, you know, you would like to hear more of it. So we're going to do that right now. And we're going to do a whole show, actually, in the next little while, featuring some fun stuff from the 1940s, 50s, 60s, 70s. Songs you'll know, but you may not understand the lyric, but you'll know the songs. So that's coming up. But we're going to play one for you right now. The singer's name is Grace Chang. Now, that is her name in English. Her Chinese name is Ge Lan. She was originally born in Beijing and studied Peking opera at the Beijing Music Academy in the late 1930s and 1940s. In 1949, her and her family came to Taiwan with Chiang Kai-shek. Now, she was a classically trained vocalist, but she wanted to do more contemporary material and pop music of the day, which is exactly how she became a household name, not just here in Taiwan, but also in Hong Kong, Singapore, and other Chinese-speaking countries. She was known as the Mambo Queen because of a movie that she made where she sang a lot of mambos. It's a very funny little movie. It has a very interesting soundtrack. A hit that she had at this time was a song very well known. Yes, very, very well known. It was a major hit, and it was also the theme song to a TV show by the original singer. The original singer is Doris Day. Some of you have probably guessed what that song is, but I'm not going to introduce it because the song certainly needs no introduction, and you'll know right away from the first few bars what it is. Here's Ge Lan, otherwise known as Grace Chang, singing a popular song by Doris Day. Well, if you didn't guess what that song is, a very famous song that was a hit for Doris Day, then you're probably living on another planet. Of course, it is called Que Sera Sera, and it was performed there by singer Ge Lan, otherwise known as Grace Chang. Grace Chang, by the way, in the 1950s, also made a number of appearances on the Dinah Shore Show and even the Ed Sullivan Show. And she was planning to record an album, she recorded one album in the U.S. that was produced by Dave Cavanaugh for Capitol Records. She was going to do a second one, and then at the last moment, she backed out and she retired. And she said it was from the stress of recording and performing. She did retire, but then a few years later came back, working in more traditional music. She's still alive today, and she's now the creative director at a very young age of 87, the creative director of the Hong Kong Chinese Opera. And I actually was in touch with her by email, and we're planning to have her on the show because she's a delight to speak to. She has so many funny stories about meeting Ed Sullivan and being the first ever Chinese performer to perform on American television. All right, we still have time for a little bit of music, so we're going to take a listen to a piece called Java. Does it have to do with coffee? I don't know. Here's Java, Al Hurt, the King, on the International Happy Station. We'll be right back. Al Hurt, the King, with Java here on the program. All right, we're nearly towards the end of the show. Once again, if you wish to get in touch with us, there's a few ways to do so. Our email address is pcjmedia@gmail.com. That's PCJ, peace, cheer, and joy, pcjmedia@gmail.com. Or visit our website, www.pcjmedia.com, and you can send us an email via the website. And since you're going to be online, how about you come and join the Happy Station friendship page at Facebook. Yes, just do a search for PCJ Media, join the group, and that's all you need to do. And don't be shy. Go ahead and add me as one of your friends. And just do a search for my name, Keith, K-E-I-T-H, family name, P-E-R-R-O-N. And, you know, we can even chat online and everything whenever you want. And if you have a suggestion for the show or anything else, let me know there. Let me see. There was something else before we go. I want to remind you again, our anniversary show coming up at the end of the month, March 26th. And this weekend, catch part 3 of my little talk to the members of the SWL, that's Shirtwave Listeners Fest, that was held in Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania. And we did have a show a couple of weeks ago where Richard Cuff was on, and the show is also uploaded at the PCJ Media website. You'll find it in the most recent shows. You know, it's funny because yesterday, which was Tuesday, because we recorded this show on Wednesday the 9th, we almost didn't have a show. On Monday, I lost my voice. Tuesday, I lost it again. And today, Wednesday, the date that we usually record, luckily, I was there. So, thank heavens for that. I was a little bit worried. And I should mention, by the way, on March the 26th, which is when we do the anniversary show, we're going to be doing some Happy Station live shows on the 26th and 27th of March. Yeah, there are going to be a couple of live shows there. You'll find out the information at our website, so check it out. Okay, that's it. That's all we have time for. So on behalf of Kevin Lee, our technician, who also packages the show and transmits it, I almost tripped over that, this is Keith Perron in Taipei, Taiwan, saying so long. Au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.